move right into the presentation. Mr. President and members of Council, as required by Title IX, Chapter 70 of the Delaware Code, I respectfully submit the proposed annual operating budget for Sussex County for FY 2014. The proposed budget was developed by the Budget Committee consisting of the County Administrator, the Finance Director Appointee, and the Budget and Cost Manager. This recommended budget is developed after receiving individual requests from each county department and meeting with the respective directors to discuss their needs. We greatly appreciate the efforts of the directors and their staff in assisting us in developing this budget. The fiscal 2014 budget again presents a challenge of that revenues are expected to slowly recover and have increased at a modest level of 3% for the general fund. However, revenues from the housing sector have increased 10%, which shows some positive movement in our local economy. Our largest revenue source, the real estate transfer tax, is budgeted at $16 million, which is half of what it was in 2006. Thanks in part to the Council's leadership and fiscal responsibility, along with conservative budgeting, the County will continue without raising taxes or increasing fees. The County's budget principles remain as follows. Prepare a balanced budget with minimal increases. Maintain an operating reserve of approximately 25%. Operate without tax-supported debt. Maintain an A-plus strong bond rating. Enhance the County's virtual interface to improve customer service. Pay-as-you-go philosophy for the capital project funds. Continue to eliminate existing septic systems and continue our sewer assistant program. The Budget Committee has made assumptions as the budget was prepared. We assume the county will continue to receive 1.5% of real estate transfer tax on eligible properties in unincorporated areas. We also assume the county will continue to receive 30% from the state of Delaware to fund the paramedic program. The budget represents a collaborative effort between the Budget Committee and department heads. I want to personally thank everyone for their understanding of these economic challenges we all face together. Sussex County is at a crossroads and faces the difficult task of preserving the many attributes that make our county such a wonderful place to live while attempting to stimulate the local economy and spur economic growth. At the same time, we must look to the future to prepare for growth and increased demand on county services. The operations of the county government through technology and automation will continue to evolve to efficiently and effectively meet these requests of the residents of Sussex County. Please feel free to contact me or the Budget Committee with any questions or concerns that you may have. Thank you, Mr. President. All right. Excuse me, thank you. All right, so we're going to begin today's presentation. This slideshow was shared with Council earlier. If you have any questions, feel free to ask. I will begin. As we alluded to in the budget letter, this is our 24th year of no change in the property tax rate. As you can see on this slide, our average taxes for a single-family home remain at $107 per year. That's 30 cents a day. For manufactured homes, that's $40 a year, or approximately 11 cents a day. Excuse me. This budget has a reduction in staff of 5.5 positions compared to last year's fiscal year budget. Our general fund is up 3.7%. That includes a $1.8 million anticipated surplus for fiscal year 13, as well as a one-time budget item for employee comp payout and holiday buyback payout. There's a decrease in the sewer assessment charges due to our continual debt reduction, as well as the previous bond refinancing. We'll continue to fund our critical public safety grants. Fire and ambulance at $3.3 million, local law enforcement $575,000, and our state police contract remains 44 troopers for $1.9 million. Our library funding is at $4.5 million, and we have an aggressive governmental capital plan, again, without any general fund debt. That's $9.9 million, 55% for airport and 23% for libraries. Here's a snapshot of our total budget compared to last year. General fund is up 8.1%, but again, that includes an anticipated surplus, which brings our actual growth down to about 3%. Capital programs, governmental fund sees a decrease at 25%. Enterprise fund, which is sewer and water, down 3.8%. Capital projects for sewer and water down 15.6%, mostly attributed to the fact that all of the ARRA or stimulus projects are completed or will be completed. And then our fiduciary fund, otherwise known as our pension funds, up 16.0%, for a total of a reduction of 2.8%. Specifics within this budget: the budget does not contain a COLA. It does contain a 2% one-time bonus for personnel. There are merit increases for employees when warranted, a pension contribution of $5 million. There are no changes in the health insurance contributions and coverage. We will continue to have our health insurance opt-out incentive for those choosing not to fall under our health care. We will begin a new dental and vision insurance. That will require an RFP this fall, and we would hope to begin coverage in January 2014. Continue our tuition reimbursement and our 13 holidays. We are changing the pension plan for new hires beginning in January 2014, requiring a 3% contribution. We're doing away with comp time accrual and simply paying out for overtime, time and a half, which is fairly common. And for all those that have a comp time or holiday bank on the record, we will pay that out. And finally, I'll go into more detail, but we are implementing a spousal coordination and birthday rule. Regarding more detail, a few weeks ago, the Budget Committee and Finance Director provided Council an update on the effects of the Affordable Care Act, otherwise known as Obamacare, on this county's health insurance policy. Estimates when the Affordable Care Act takes effect will cost the county $323,000 the first year. That number will increase. Faced with that number, we have some options to consider. The first option would be to raise county taxes. Another option would be to increase or pass along that charge to employees, $646 annually. Or we could decrease the benefits that county employees receive right now, reduce our coverage. A final option is to take lives off of this plan. We can do that by introducing the spousal coordination and birthday rule. By reducing the amount of lives on our plan, we will reduce the tax liability for this county. That's what this budget recommends, implementing the spousal coordination of benefits for employees whose spouse has coverage somewhere else at their job or employment. If you want to opt to stay on county insurance as secondary, you may do so. And there's also a hardship exemption in place. In other words, if it costs county employees or their spouse to go off too much money, 50% of the cost is what we have the hardship at, which is generally the norm, they will be permitted to stay on the county's coverage. And we're implementing the common known rule as a birthday rule to deal with dependents. Dependents must have primary coverage under a parent's insurance whose birthday comes first in that calendar year. Okay, here's a snapshot of our full-time employees. This budget has three new positions within it recommending for employment FY14. Total, like I mentioned earlier, that is a reduction in employment positions, 5.5 positions compared to last year's budget. Look at our five-year change. We're down 55 employees for the last 5 years. That's a result of the economy as well as enhancing the way we do business. And now I'm going to turn it over to Ms. Jennings, who's going to give more detail about the general fund.
Thank you, Mr. Lawson. Okay, the first slide here is just giving you the highlights of the general fund. As Mr. Lawson mentioned, the total operating increased 8.1% or $3.7 million. What we're doing with this budget, the budget looks as an annual basis, but we're starting to look into the future health of the county. So we're doing a couple of things different this year. We're looking at the comp liability that we have on the books that grows every year. So we're going to start paying that down so that that liability will stop growing and won't be a burden on the county in the future. Another thing that we're doing is starting to put money aside for our capital projects fund. We haven't done that since 2008. So that will strengthen the capital projects, and it will still alleviate for us not having any general fund debt. There's no fee or tax increases. Taxable assessments increased 1.4%. That is from construction. The intergovernmental grants increased 9.5%. That is mostly community development program and federal grants. But overall, you'll see that our revenues are increasing 2.5%, and we are being cautiously optimistic with that 2.5%. If you look at the chart below, you can see a lot of our building revenues are increasing way above that 2.5%. Realty transfer tax being the highest at 21%, building the private roads and inspection fees with about 38-39% there. Okay, this pie chart shows you where our revenues are coming from. The largest part of the pie, just like it has been in the past, is realty transfer tax at 32%. This has grown from last year. Last year it was at 28%. Property tax is the second largest at 29%. Okay, this line graph shows the history of realty transfer tax back to 2002. What I want you to take a notice is that from 2010, it has begun increasing. 2013, we are projecting to bring $18 million in realty transfer tax. We only budgeted $13 million in 2013. So again, we're being cautiously optimistic, and we are budgeting $16 million in 2014 and not the $18 that we're expecting. Okay, the next graph is showing some of our housing statistics, how it's happened in the last 5 years. The first three lines that you see, the first one, this blue one here, being the deeds recorded, you can see that the deeds recorded had dropped dramatically in 2010, and we're back up in 2013. That's a 19% increase in those 4 years. The next line is the inspections that our building code are performing, and you can see where it dropped in 2010 and how it's raised in 2013. Okay, that's also an 18% increase. The next line is our building permits. Again, 2010 was the low year, and again, that is increasing. That's about a 13%. What these three lines have in common is that they all are above our 2009 numbers. This line down here, you see it's having the reverse effect. What that is our share of sales and our foreclosures. 2011, there are about 1,500 foreclosures. In 2013, we're projecting about 750. That's a 50% decrease in just 2 years in that department. You'll see that in our revenues where we have budgeted $4 million in the previous year and that we're only budgeting $2 million in this year. Okay, this next graph shows all of our expenditures and where we spend most of the money. At the paramedic department is our largest expense at that 26%. The next largest is grant and aid, and that is 15%, which is about $7.3 million. Ms. Webb will talk about this in detail at a later slide. And then the next largest is finance, but that encompasses a lot of other departments, such as assessment and building code. And then libraries being the fourth largest, and that also includes the 11 independent libraries in addition to our three. Okay, and then the last graph that I want to show you, what it does, it takes the previous pie chart and it backs out the revenues that we're receiving for fees and grants. So this is the tax dollar. So when we collect $1, how is it being allocated among all the expenses? The largest part of the tax dollar is public safety at 55 cents. The next largest, 14 cents of that dollar, is then goes to libraries, and then 10 cents of the dollar goes to general government, which includes the county council, administration, legal, finance, and the constitutional offices. Okay, I'd like to turn it over to Ms. Webb, and she'll talk about the grants.
Good morning.
Good morning, Mrs. Webb.
As Mrs. Jennings said, grants was the second largest category of our general fund expenses at $7.3 million. It was $7.3 million also in the budget last year. This is 15% of our budget, our grant and aid program, the largest being our grants for public safety. As you saw, that did take the biggest chunk of the dollar bill was our public safety grants. This includes the fire companies and ambulance at $3.3 million, the local law enforcement to the town police, $575,000, and the state police subsidy, which is now at $1.9 million at 44 officers. We added four last March. We're up to the 44 now, our complement. All these grants are back to the original amount. In 2009 and 10, we had done cuts to balance the budget, 8% cuts on many of these grants that are in this grant and aid package, and we slowly brought them up as the budget was not as tight, so we are back to their full amount, which is a positive step. The next largest category are the community grants and the libraries. The community grants include the human service grants, the housing assistant grant, which is the supplemental grant we give to the CDBG department. Last year it was $70,000. This year we're recommending budgeting $100,000. It is for the people that do not have the time and have such a severe emergency to they can't wait on the waiting list for the federal money, so they have assistance from the county, and also the community improvement grants. And the libraries at 8% of our expenses at $4.5 million. To break down public safety, you can see why public safety is a big chunk of our budget. It was a big chunk of that tax dollar. We have the paramedics, which their numbers are always increasing. They have increased 30% over the last 10 years. They have a $13 million budget. Their emergency operations center, the call board, they had an 18% increase in the last 10 years, and that's $3 million of our public safety budget. And our public safety grants that we give out, the fire and ambulance, the local law enforcement, and the state police, has grown to $5.8 million. So public safety is a very important part of the county. It's very important for us to fund at a level that that our citizens need. Community development. Many of these are federal funds and passed through from the federal government through the state down to us. CDBG, the Neighborhood Stabilization, HUD, and Housing Preservation Grant is where we do a lot of the emergency rehabilitation on people's homes in the county, improving their homes. And then the County Council Emergency Grant Assistance, which I mentioned earlier, has gone up to $100,000. It was $70,000. I know it's been important for the council. In the last couple of years, when we've had extra surplus funds at the end of the fiscal year, that was one of the places that you always put it to, was to increase the emergency grant assistance. The county serves approximately, or the CDBG department serves approximately 130 to 150 Sussex County households in a year. And the capital projects account. This is a separate fund from the general fund. As Mrs. Jennings mentioned, we are going to start the process of transferring funds over into that fund. This is a fund without any revenue source except for possibly federal grants like the FAA grants. It has no tax dollars, but what we do is we use our realty transfer money to fund our capital projects, and we transfer it over, and that is where we don't have any debt. So we use cash and pay as you go. So it's time to start looking ahead, and we have had many projects in the past, so we're going to start putting funds away again so we can keep on that process. One of the biggest is the airport. It is the biggest with the runway 422 extension, the 500 feet. We know that's going on. The Greenwood Library will finish this year. In the county buildings, we're doing a lot of improvements to outdated things, improvements to make it more user-friendly. We're doing improvements to this administration building. This year, we kind of concentrated on the West Complex. That will keep our buildings in shape. It is a big asset of ours, and we need to keep it in shape. Engineering, the Woodland Park will be designed and finished over in Seaford. And some miscellaneous projects, one of the most biggest ones there is the next EMS station that we would be looking at possibly. We have started the process of, as the rentals come due, looking at making it more permanent. We're purchasing property and then building a station. We're finishing the one in Long Neck this year. So next year we'll take a look at another situation where we could make a permanent station. And Mrs. Roth will continue on with sewer.
Thank you, Mrs. Webb. I'm going to cover the Enterprise Fund, which is both our water and sewer funds. This is the highlights of the Enterprise Funds. Service charges, this will be our fourth year, we've continued our unified rates. There is a decrease in assessment rates, as Mr. Lawson had spoke about earlier. This is due to a bond refinancing, which we did last year in February, and as well as paying off some West Rehoboth debts and some other smaller debts as well. EDUs continue to increase. We're at 1.5% this year. Again, this is from growth within, as well as some of the new districts coming online this year. A 4% decrease in operating costs for the systems. Most is our capital expenditures, annual capital expenditures have decreased. We have a 16% decrease in our overall capital projects, which are projects that last from year to year. System connection charges are increasing this year at 2.273%. This is based on the construction cost index, which we base our cost on each year. We are going to continue the 100-foot cap, as we have in the past, for our front footage assessment. And we are looking into a new rate study for this year. Sewer summary of expenses. Our admin and general expenses have increased 10%. There is 6 new sewer studies in the budget this year, as well as some of our computer maintenance costs have increased as well. Operations expenses have increased 6.9%. This is we're implementing a new electrical safety program, so we're having a consultant come in and help us with that. Also, chemical costs have increased. Third-party wastewater treatment costs have increased. And there is some engineering in there for some pumping system improvements. Capital expenses, these are, again, year-to-year expenses, have decreased this year 18.2%. But we still have $1.4 million in for pumping systems, over $200,000 in for transportation equipment. We're on our final phase of the ERP, which is our computer system, which is $236,000. And we have $119,000 in for various generators for various pump stations. We have over 400 pump stations in the system right now. And again, our debt service will decrease 12.8% this year. These are our assessment charges for all our districts. There'll be 2 slides. This is the first of the 2. And it shows how they've decreased. Again, most of them have decreased. Some have remained the same, or some are even eliminated this year. And even ones like North Bethany, this will be their final year, so they'll be paid off next year. So this is a big change for us. This is the second slide. And then these slides actually show our annual charges, which includes our service charges for one EDU, as well as our assessment charges. And the net change is on the final column there for the change, which shows most of them decreasing. Their sum was an $8 charge, and basically that's a change in our service charges, which we've been implementing over the last couple years. And then the water fund revenues will increase 11.9% this year. There is, of course, increased the cost of our water supplier, which is the city of Rehoboth. And our assessment charges are eliminated in this district. So the average rate per user will be the same this year as last year. Our enterprise capital projects for this year will be $17.9 million, we're estimating. A majority of this, or over 50%, will be funded by state or federal funds, either grants or loans. A majority of this $10.5 million is for pumping or connection system rehabilitation for our older systems. There's also $1.4 million in there for Inland Bays expansion, $1.5 million for the Route 26 project, which we're coordinating with DLDOT on the expansion of the Route 26. And the Herring Creek Water and Sewer District, we have $2.3 million in there for this year as well. and the five-year capital project program. This includes both the water and sewer and the general fund. Again, you'll see $34 million in there, and a majority of that is for our airport, of course. And then water and sewer capital projects is $124,000. Two of the bigger projects there are West Rehoboth and the Heron Creek projects. That ends our presentation for the day. The information is available on our webpage. We also will have a public meeting on June 18th for any public comment. If anybody wants a paper document of the budget itself, you'll get up with me after the meeting. I'm willing to supply you one. Thank you. And thank you, Council.
Thank you. Thank you all very much to the Budget Committee and Mr. Lawson.
Mike, can we ask any general questions at all?
Can we ask any general questions?
Mr. Moore? Yeah, sure. Yeah.
Just to clarify.
Got to introduce at some point. Yeah, go ahead.
Okay, no, it was back to the health care, Todd, when you mentioned how the Affordable Care Act is going to cost us $323,000, I believe it is, or something like that number. Anyway, and you said that the recommendation to offset that would be the spousal coordination and birthday rule. But then you also stated that in the future we're going to see increases in that, correct? It's maybe 300 and some thousand this year, but it may be, I think our consultant said maybe 750,000 in a couple years and maybe even a million and up and up. So my question would be the spousal coordination and birthday rule will get us over this initial hump. You had a list of things we may have to resort to, you know, to make up for these shortfalls, and one of them was like a tax increase, and one was, you know, these other things. So the spousal coordination and birthday rule, how long do you think that could, that wouldn't handle another major increase, would it? We would take a hit somewhere along the line. We're going to have to address this Affordable Care Act with other solutions, would be my assessment of
The
long range. I'm thinking long range.
If I understand your question, we may need to revisit this at some point, yes. And Gina may have the actual numbers as far as forecasting. What we're recommending is the least impactful to our employees.
Right. Oh,
and
yeah. Okay.
And that's what we are recommending and why we're recommending it now. May we need to change the benefit coverage? Yes, at some
That's
point
right.
in the future.
As these costs increase, no way will spousal coordination and birthday rule carry us too far into the future with the impacts we're anticipating. Is basically, how much is the spousal coordination and birthday rule going to benefit us? I mean, I know it'll benefit us, but will it benefit it for how long? Is my only question is so. We need. I think the council needs to understand that we may have to be faced with this again in a year or two.
You're right, Gina. Do you have any comments on that?
We assume that for every life that we get off the plan, it would save $8,000. The issue that we have is the excise tax because it looks like we're giving a Cadillac plan. So the more lives we get off, that tax might not exist if we can get the lives off the plan.
Mm.
So even though we're increased, they're giving us these fees in that, it's the excise tax of 40% that's hurting us. So, yes, we could look at this in the future, but until we know how many lives we can get off the plan, we don't know, since we're valuing those at $8,000.
I always hate when you hear say lives. You mean employees.
Well, they're the employees' spouses, so, yeah.
That's okay. Scary.
Mr. Phillips?
On the chart showing the foreclosures going down, and I think, Gina, you were talking about that.
Mm-hmm.
Part of that is because of the mediation that was required, I believe, by the Attorney General's office. Is that correct?
That's part of it, yes.
And so there is a backlog, if I understand right, of foreclosures that are going to be coming through. So it is possible that they could spike back up.
That's correct. I talked to Tina Timmons at the Sheriff's Department, and even the waiting list has gone down as well. So even when they're getting through the mediation, it's actually stopping them from getting to foreclosures altogether.
Good. Another thing that I'm concerned about, I guess at one point it was said that the budget's increasing by 8%, and then another time it was increasing by 3 point something percent. Why the difference there?
Okay. The 8% has to do with money that we, the surplus, when I showed you the quarterly report, we have a $1.8 million surplus. So what we're going to do is take that money and put it into this 2014 budget so that when we get to that point, then you have the discretion to spend that money. But right now, we don't have the line items to spend that. So it's just sitting into a surplus account.
So expenditures are not necessarily going up 8%. Rather, revenue is.
The revenue is only going up 3%
okay. In
general. And our expenses, when you look at last year, have only gone up 3%. It's just this line that of appropriated reserve, the money from that we're going to get from the surplus is hitting that line, and then there's another line in there that we can be spending in the future. We could put it in the pension fund. We could put it in the capital fund. It's just the growth of our expenses have not increased more than 3%.
Very good. And the last thing is the 2% one-time bonus. I'm just afraid that that's not equitable to our employees. What is that one-time bonus being put in a budget for? Is it kind of like a cost of living adjustment to help them with fuel, to help them with electric cost, or is it kind of across-the-board merit? What would you call
2%.
It?
Okay. It differs from the COLA because COLA historically would hit their base salary and stay with their salary. Mm-hmm. So it raises the whole boat 2%, if you will, for the metaphor. a 2% one-time bonus does not stick to their salary. It is a one-time bonus, and it's an amount of money that they would see, and then it would not affect their base salary.
Well, I think that's a very good way to give them this money. I am concerned about using a percentage. For instance, we have a handful of employees making $100,000, a very small handful. They're going to receive a $2,000 bonus at the point of distribution, whereas you have a lot of employees, I would say, that would fall into like the $30,000 category, and they're only going to receive $600. Now, I would venture to say that it's those employees who make $30,000 that need the money the most, and not the folks making the $70,000, $80,000, $90,000, even $100,000. And I think from an equitable perspective, fairness, and just common sense, it would be better if we took that pool of money and divided it by the number of employees we had and made a one-time bonus amount equal for everyone, whether it's $800, $900, what have you. That still, in my opinion, is not as equitable as I would like it, because I think that those folks who are making $30,000 could use the money a lot more than the folks making the much higher salaries. It's just a point, and I know it's nothing we can change in the budget today, but I'd like you to consider it for the future.
Any more comment? Mrs. Deaver.
No, go ahead. Well, I have questions, too. It seems to me that some of our financial issues are being taken care of on the backs of the employees. I'm sorry. That's how I feel about it. You know, I can see the spousal benefit and birthday rule, because that's pretty much accepted everywhere. That's the way it's done everywhere, and some governments have been doing that for 20 years, maybe longer. That I have no problem with, but they've gotten COLAs for the past how many years? At least, 30 years? And why now? What have they done that they don't deserve a COLA? I'm sorry, but that's how I feel about it. And I would like to know how, with all these changes to the employees, how does it compare to other places they could work? I'd like to know.
What would you like to know?
Put it all together. I'd like to know.
Like to know what?
I just said what I'd like to know.
I didn't get it.
I want to know how our benefits and pay, with all these changes, would compare to, for instance, working at Kent County.
Who do you want to compare with?
Kent County.
Oh, Kent County? Well, Kent County can't compare with Newcastle either. Newcastle can't compare with Washington, can't compare with Philadelphia. Sussex County is a cheaper living place, Joe.
And what have they done that we're going to cut back on their no COLA, and now you want to divide it up into, I don't know. It just doesn't make any sense that they should take the hit for everything. I'm sorry. That's how I feel.
That has jarred a thought. Is the council getting any raise, merit, or bonus?
Bonus, like everybody else would get.
Bonus. I probably would make a motion when the budget is considered that the council does not receive the bonus. I don't think we should be doing this for the money.
Is that a spiteful?
No, I recommend that even before Bass said it. I didn't know he was going to say that. So I feel the same way.
Well, I would donate my bonus to the employees.
That's a good idea.
And, you know, because they shouldn't be taking the brunt of all this.
I deserve a bonus for putting up with you guys.
Probably right. You're probably right. Anything else from council?
Those two farmers.
Mr. Moore, would you please read the short title?
Yes, there's two. The first one is an ordinance establishing the annual operating budget for fiscal year 2014.
Anyone care to introduce it? Mr. Phillips introduced it.
And the second is an ordinance establishing annual service charges, annual assessment rates for collection and transmission and or treatment and connection charges for all of Sussex County Water and Sewer Districts.
I'll introduce it.
Mr. Phillips introduced it. Thank you. Hal Godwin, step on down. Listen.